Misach Olas Perek Gimel Mishnah Dalad until Perek Dalad Mishnah Aleph. The focus of this Perek, this chapter, is an opening that exists inside of a wall, which causes the tumah to spread from one room to the adjacent room, the adjacent oihel, and how large that opening needs to be to cause that spread of tumah. The most standard size given for the hole is a tefach by a tefach. However, we saw in this Perek that there are two other sizes at least which are given. For a hole that is not made with any particular designation or purpose, the hole would need to be the size of the fist of Ben Botiach, who was a very large person, and his fist was roughly the same size as a regular person's head. And on the other extreme, we have a hole that was made in order to allow light to enter into the room, and that needs to be the same size as the hole which is made by the drill in the Beis HaMikdash, when they would use the drill for repairing things. The Mishnah also gave a size for the hole which is made for allowing light to come in when somebody started to close up that hole. Be it as it may, this Mishnah is going to show a fundamental machlokes between Beis Shammai and Beis Hillel, whether the standard measurement that was given was a tefach by a tefach, with certain exceptions, and those are the ones that were mentioned earlier on in the Mishnah, since they are very specific purposes, for example, to allow light to come into the room. And it's also pretty defined, the size that is needed, something like that, or if it was made without any purpose at all, those are very specific exceptions, and in those cases, the size of the hole differs. But regularly, if it's not one of those exceptions, then we go with the regular standard size of a tefach by a tefach. Alternatively, it could be that those are not exceptions, rather the hole the size of the hole is always according to the use of that hole. So the Mishnah gave a number of standard uses as examples, but if there was a hole designated for a different use, then the size of the hole would change accordingly. For example, ha'isa mokim lakoneh, one who makes an opening inside of his wall, and the opening goes through the entire thickness of the wall, and he makes it in order to be able to store a reed that is used in the weaving process. It was a weaver's tool, v'lo aspasi. This was another tool that was used by weavers that had an appearance of a mini sword, v'la ner. Or if he made a thin opening in the wall in order to be able to hold a lamp, the lamp would jut out of the wall on the inside of the wall, and the handle of the lamp would be stuck into this hole in the wall in order to hold it. So all of these are holes that are made in the wall for a specific purpose, and according to the first opinion, Shi'urei Kol Shehu K'divrei Beis Shammai, according to Beis Shammai, the size that the hole needs to be is any amount as long as it is fit for the purpose that he has created it for. The size differs according to the purpose that he has made the hole. However, Beis Hillel, Omer Beis Hillel say that the size of the hole is always b'fiseach tefach, it's a tefach by a tefach, except for those very particular exceptions that the Mishnais at the beginning of the Perek talked about, because those are very general and common specific uses, and as such it's possible to define a more accurately sized hole for those purposes. The Mishnah ends off that even Beis Shammai agreed that if he made the hole in order lozunes einov, to literally feed his eyes, that means he wants to look through the hole in order to see people on the other side, or he made a hole in the wall or the door in order to be able to speak to his friend through there, or in order to store various useful items. Since these uses are very much not defined, and some people would want to make a larger hole for those purposes, some would want to make a smaller hole, so over here we need a fixed, defined size. And so even Beis Shammai agree that b'fiseach tefach, the size that is given and prescribed is a tefach by a tefach. But for other holes that are it's very clear how big the hole needs to be, according to Beis Shammai, the size of that hole would be according to the use of the hole. Mishnah Hey, the final two Mishnahs of this Perek talk about minimizing and diminishing the size of a hole that until now was large enough to spread the impurity to the adjacent oihel, but by filling it up with certain substances, that would diminish the size of the hole until the point where it would no longer be able to spread the impurity. And as a general rule, at the end of the next Mishnah, we're going to see that something that is not able to become Tomei, and as well as that, it is left in the hole to stay. It's not entirely clear whether it needs to be left there on a permanent basis, or at least for the meantime, as long as the dead body is likely to be in the oihel, the item is not going to be removed from the hole, then it would be considered to be part of the wall, and the hole in the wall is now a smaller size. However, something that is able to become Tomei cannot reduce the size of the hole, because something that can become Tomei has not got the power to block Tumah from passing through it. This Mishnah shows that there are certain items that are too small for them to be able to become Tomei. For example, there is a piece of a dead body smaller than the size of a olive. Although it is a substance that technically is able to cause impurity, since it lacks the minimum size, even that would be able to reduce the size of the hole and prevent the spreading of the tumor to the adjacent oihel. In the following substances, the following items are able to diminish the size of the hole if they fill up part of the hole. And if that which is left of the hole is less than a tefach, or whatever the size of the hole needs to be, then the tumor would not spread to the adjacent oihel. A piece of flesh from a dead body, specifically, that is smaller than the size of an olive, so it's smaller than the minimum size that is needed to transfer tumor. If that fills up part of the hole, it would diminish the hole to be the size only of the empty space that is remaining. But this is only in a case of where the item that is in the oihel that is transferring the tumor, and the question is whether it passes to the adjacent oihel or not, is a quarter of a kav of bones. That's the minimum volume of bones of a dead body that would transfer tumor via tumas oihel. And in such a case, the flesh of the dead body would be able to block the impurity that is coming from the bones. However, if there was flesh of a dead body inside that oihel, and that is that is what's causing the tumor, then certainly flesh of a dead body, even if it's less than the minimum size, would not be able to block that tumor. Quite the opposite, it would join together with that tumor to spread it. In the same way as if there are two pieces of flesh of a dead body that are each too small, but together they make up the minimum size, if they're underneath the same oihel, they would spread tumor together. They would combine, so only if it's a different part of the dead body that does not combine with flesh that is causing the tumor, only then would the flesh, which is too small to be able to transfer tumor, block that impurity from going into the adjacent oihel. Another similar example is upochis me'etzem kasa'ira, a bone that is smaller than a corn of barley. If it was the size of a corn of barley, it would be able to transfer tumor if somebody touches or carries it. And anything that is a source of tumor cannot block tumor. But if it is smaller than that minimum size for it to be able to become tomei at all, then mema'it, it would diminish the size of the hole, aide kazayis basar, if the thing that is causing the impurity in the oihel is a size of an olive of flesh. Because once again, since flesh does not combine with bones to spread the tumor, the bone would be able to block the tumor that is coming from the flesh of the dead body. Now the Mishnah gives a few more examples of things that are sources of impurity, but currently there is not enough of it to be a source of impurity, and it also does not combine with a dead body at all, because these are other types of sources of impurity. But the truth is, the first example which the Mishnah gives is one which has already been stated. Pochas min kazayis min ames, a piece of a dead body, the flesh of a dead body, that is less than the size of an olive. The reason why the Mishnah repeats this is because there are other cases where it applies. For example, if the item that is causing the tumor to spread is blood. The example that the Mishnah gave was an example of bones, but it could be that there is enough blood that also wouldn't combine with the flesh. And now the Mishnah continues with its examples. Pochas min kazayis min anavela, a piece of an animal that has died without receiving proper slaughtering. This is a source of impurity, but only if there is a minimum size of an olive. So if it's less than that, then quite the opposite, it will be able to block the impurity by diminishing the size of the hole. Pochas min kardash min asheretz, less than the size of a lentil of a sheretz. This is one of the eight small animals that the Torah lists as being a severe source of impurity once they die. More so than a regular animal that has died. Pochas min kabeitza oichlem, food that is smaller than the size of an egg. In order for food to be able to make something else tomei, it needs to be at least the size of an egg. Hatavua shebachaloin, wheat or other grains that are still attached to the ground, and they're long, and the top of them has been stuffed into the hole in a wall. As long as the grain is not actually growing from right next to the wall, it's likely to stay there, and since it's still attached to the ground, it's not able to become tomei, so it would diminish the size of the hole. If the grain, such as the wheat, was growing right next to the wall, then it's not likely to remain there for a long time, because that damages the wall. having things growing right next to it. But if we're talking about a case where it's not right next to it, so it's going to remain there permanently, and since the wheat is still attached to the ground, it is not able to become tome, so it would block the tumor. The kochai and a spider's web, sheyesh bo mamash, that is considered to be tangible. There is a very thick spider web over there. It wouldn't just crumble and break as soon as somebody touches a part of it. As long as there's not a likelihood that it's going to be removed anytime soon, it would also diminish the size of the hole and block the impurity from passing on to the adjacent oihel. The Mishnah ends off with another two examples of things that can become tome, but there is a couple of criteria lacking currently for it to become tome, and because of that it is able to diminish the size of the hole and block the tumah. The Nivlas Ha'oif HaTohar, a dead bird that didn't receive a proper slaughtering, so it's forbidden to eat it, and it's also a source of impurity. But it's only a source of impurity if the owner had the intention of using it as food. Of course, a regular Jew is forbidden to eat it, but it's possible for a non-Jew to eat it. However, as long as Shaloichi Shevoleho, he has not had that intention to designate it for being eaten, it does not have yet the status of food, and it cannot become tomei. The nivlas oifa tomei shechishev oleho v'loich shira, a dead bird that is not from a kosher species, even if he did have the intention that it be used for food, if it hasn't come into contact with a liquid, that's what the term hechshira means, that is another condition for the food to be able to become tomei, and this is a condition which applies to almost all food. It happens to not apply to a kosher species of bird, but to the vast majority of foods, they can only become tome if they have become wet before. They don't have to remain wet, but it has to be that at some point beforehand they have become wet. If that's not the case, then it's still not able to become tome, and therefore it would be able to block the tumor. Oyechshira, or even if it has come into contact with a liquid, but the owner hasn't had the intention to use it for food, so again, there's lacking a certain condition for it to be able to become tome, and as long as that is the case, it is able to block the tumor, and if excluding that part, the size of the hole is too small to allow the tumor to spread, then indeed the tumor would not spread to the adjacent oihel. Mishnah Vov, on the other hand, Elu She'inam in Latin, the following things would not diminish the size of the hole because they can become tome, and therefore they can't block tumor from passing through them. Eino etzem might like that. Somais, a bone, even if the bone itself is too small to spread tumor by itself, it can't serve as a blockage from tumor that is being caused by a volume of bones that is large enough. Because quite the opposite, the bone, even if it's too small, it would combine together with the bones to spread the tumor instead of blocking it. V'loi bosai de bosar, likewise, flesh from a dead body, even if it itself is too small by itself, it cannot block tumor that is caused by the flesh coming from a dead body, because it would combine with that flesh to spread the tumor, and certainly it cannot block it. V'loi gzais min ames, nor can a piece of a dead body that is the size of a olive block tumor, certainly that is the case, because that can become tome itself. And likewise, velikzaizman anavela, a dead animal that is the size of an olive, and therefore it's a source of impurity, velikadoshman asheretz, or a piece of a sheretz, one of the eight small animals that the Torah lists as being an even more severe level of impurity, coming from them when they die, if it is at least the size of a lentil, then it is a source of impurity, so it can't block tumor. V'lekabetza oichlem, food that is at least the size of an egg, it has the ability to become tome and to give its tumor onto other things, and therefore it does not have the ability to block tumor. V'lektavua shebachaloinos, grain such as wheat that grows right next to the wall and fills up the windows, since that is likely to be removed and cut off, because things going so near to the wall damage the wall, so we don't look at it as a permanent part of the wall, and therefore, for that reason, it does not block the tumor. V'loi kochai she'in bo mamash. And the same idea goes for a spider web that is not so tangible, it hasn't got such of a thickness to it. Again, that's not considered substantial enough to be able to block the tumor from going through it. V'loi nivlas ha'oif ha'tor she'chish v'oleho, a dead bird which comes from a kosher species that a person, the owner, had the intention that it be used for food, that means that it can now become tomei, or a dead bird that is not from a kosher species that the owner both had the intention to use it for food And it came into contact with a liquid, so it fulfilled those two criteria necessary for it to be able to become tome. All of these items, since they can become tome themselves, or they're not considered substantial or permanent enough, they would not block the tumor from going through them. The threads that go in opposite directions when they are set up to be woven, weaving essentially is connecting lots of threads that go in an eastward to westward direction with threads that go in the north-south direction. And if those threads have been set up and are ready to be woven, they are able to become tome. And hamnugoim, if they have tsoras on them, which is a certain not natural spot that can come on items of clothing, and if indeed it emerges to be tsoras, then the Torah decrees that those items of clothing become tome. And although in general an entire item of clothing which has been completed is necessary in order for material to become tome, here that the threads have been set up and it's ready to be woven, those can also become tome if tsoras appears on them. V'lo levenu beis hapras, a brick that comes from a beis hapras. A beis hapras refers to a field in which there was a grave, and the grave was ploughed over. And there is a concern that fragments of the bones of the body spread throughout the entire field, and therefore, midrabbonon, the entire field we consider to be tome. According to Meir, this wasn't only said about clods of earth in that field, but even crushed up earth, which is like a powder, and later on it turns into a brick, even though there's much less of a concern there, because it's pretty visible that there is no bone. But according to Meir, midrabbonon, that also would be tome. Since it's tome, even though it's only midrabbonon, it would not be able to block impurity. Rav Meir, that's the opinion of Rav Meir, v'chachom oimrim. However, the Chachomim say that halaveinu ma'etes, a brick that comes from such a field, would diminish the size of the hole, m'pnei she'afara tohar, because its earth is actually pure. According to the Chachomim, the earth, which is totally crushed, and it's not a clod of earth, so it's visible to see that there is no bone in there, that is not tomei, even midrabanon. And since this brick was made from that earth, it is pure, it's not a source of impurity, and therefore it would be able to block the impurity from going from one oihel to the next. Zeh klol concludes the Mishnah and the Perek, ha-tohar me-ma'et. An item that is pure and cannot become tome would diminish the size of the hole, because it has got the power to block impurity from coming through it, to the extent that it becomes a part of the wall, the ha-tome ein me-ma'et. But an item that can become tome does not have the ability to diminish the size of the hole, because it obviously itself cannot block tumah, because the rule is that something that can become tome cannot block tumah from spreading through it. Peridal Mishnah Aleph. This perek talks about different ledges and structures that jut out of a wall and how they spread tumah to the items underneath them or elsewhere. And the Mishnah starts off with haziz, a certain kind of ledge that has the ability to mevia satuma kol shehu, to spread the impurity from underneath it into the house, even if it is a very small size, less than a tefach. It juts out of the house by less than a tefach. Since the type of ledge that we are talking about is associated with the doorway underneath it, and its entire purpose is for the sake of that doorway and those people who are entering and exiting the house. For example, it was probably placed there in order to prevent the rain from falling directly where the doorway is, and to protect somebody who is standing there at the doorway from the rain. So since it's considered to be a part, an extension of the house, really, which is an oihel, this would also be considered an oihel, even though it is less wide than a tefach. And a ziz can be shown in the diagram for this Mishnah. On the other hand, the hagizra. A gizra is an identical ledge, however, whereas a ziz, the flat end of the ziz, faces downwards, so the only real purpose of this is to prevent the rain from going to the doorway. In that case, it associates totally with the doorway. However, if it was placed the opposite way round, such that at the top there it would be flat, and it can be used as a shelf, to the extent that it has another use, it is less associated with the doorway below it, and therefore it would need to be a tefach wide in order for it to be an oihel, just like the regular rule. The Hagavlis, this is very similar to a gizra. It was just shaped slightly differently, more like an arch, but it could also be used as a shelf, and therefore if we say a tefach, it would need to be at least a tefach by a tefach to be considered an oihel. Ezo aziz, what is an example, what is needed in order for it to be considered a ziz? Shepon of lamata, that its flat side be facing downwards. V'ha gizra, whereas a gizra is sheponeho lamala, its flat side is facing upwards, as we explained. The Mishnah adds, uvamo omru haziz mevia satuma kol shehu. With regards to which exact case did the Chachomim say this new novel idea that the ledge can be considered an oihel regardless of its size, even if it's less than a tefach, and it would spread impurity from underneath it into the inside of the house. That's only Bazir Shugvermen of Pesach Shoshin Bochin, a ledge that is no more than three rows of stones higher than the actual doorway. Shehem Shenem Osar Tefach, which is equivalent to 12 Tefach above the doorway. But Yosim Mekan, if it is even higher than that away from the door, then maybe a Satum of Seach Tefach, it would only be considered an Oihel and would only spread the Tumor if it is at least a Tefach by a Tefach, because it no longer associates fully with the doorway below it. Ha'atorais, stones that jut out of the wall and are shaped like an arch, and they are there mainly for decoration. Va'pituchim, similar stones that come out of the wall for the sake of decoration. These aren't shaped like an arch, but they are also there for decoration. Automatically, it's not considered to be that it's serving totally the doorway underneath it, and therefore, mevin satum of seach tefach, they would only spread the impurity from the piece of the dead body underneath them into the house, and likewise to other items, which are also underneath that same ledge, if the ledge is at least a tefach wide.